I'm the guy that builds the boat, and I'm the guy that sails them. Yeah, we'll have 10 seconds of silence for atmosphere.
Sure, just in case you need to plug in some silence later.
Yeah. Well, when we get into a house situation, much like Dave's house, your house, you might get a phone call, and we'll have to edit out ringing. Mm-hmm. Ringing endorsements.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Okay.
All right.
Greetings, cocktail fans. Welcome to the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure. I'm Dave, one of your hosts. Unfortunately, I'm not here for this episode, but the show must go on, so I leave you in the capable hands of our other two gentlemen hosts. And here they are now, Fred and Jason.
Can we say that? Can we thank Dave?
I guess we could.
Thanks, Dave. This is episode...
47!
47!
47! And you're Frank Parker.
I'm Frank Parker. Gentleman of Elegant Leisure.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Which Dave may or may not have said in that.
No, and...
we've never listened to
What else would he have said?
He would have said that he was out of town.
Okay.
Enjoying himself neck deep in the waters of the South Pacific. Or the North Pacific, actually.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Hawaii... Tropical is really in the North Pacific.
Yeah, so are we.
Well, I don't know if everybody wants to know where we're located right
Yikes!
Now. Okay. We're not in the North Pacific.
We're the Midwest.
We're up against the North Pacific.
We're up against it, all right.
Stuck between a rock and a hard place.
So this is our apology episode. That's why Dave's not here. He won't apologize.
No. He will not.
Deserve what you get, people.
Yep, that's the way he's always been.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know why we work with such a disagreeable, awful person.
Well, I don't know either. It could be his charming good looks.
Yeah.
His acidic wit.
Mm-hmm. His winsome smile.
I think it's his winsome smile.
Okay.
That's what keeps me coming back.
Right. His cascading locks.
Yep. And it was a large part of this was his idea.
Well, it was.
So we'd have to call it, if we didn't have David, it'd be like two guys with drink.
Oh, that's right. Drink singular.
Yeah.
Oh, funny you should say that.
Thank you.
Yeah. We'll put in a laugh track so that people know how funny that was.
And a lot of people don't realize how funny we are.
No.
No matter how often we tell them. So, yeah. So we're apologizing. It's mainly me.
Yeah.
I don't even think you feel that bad about it.
I actually wanted to do two other drinks completely different.
Yeah.
And then I found two other drinks that are also completely different.
Oh.
So we're set for the next month.
Oh, perfect.
So tune in April.
Yeah. Things are just going to take off. But so far, so we're still apologizing for the Errol Flynn cocktail.
I'm sorry. I keep this.
Yeah. I know. You keep going to the future.
Yeah. Why do we have to apologize about Errol Flynn?
He seems
like a nice guy.
Well, no, he doesn't.
Sure.
In the movies.
He welcomes people to Sherwood.
He killed
a guy's deer and threw it on his table.
Yeah, I guess that's not good.
No.
But the other stuff that we talked about in the last episode, having holes in his bathroom so he could watch his guests.
Yeah.
And the two-way mirrors.
Now, there is a chance that he was concerned medically for his guests.
That's a good point. I don't... Was he a train doctor?
He was a train wreck. Well, cue the laugh track.
Oh, yeah. That's true. So, you know, he was a bit of a... I don't know. A hard case.
Yes, he was.
He was...
We'd forgotten what a filthy character Errol Flynn was.
He was. He was just a dirty, filthy guy. Although, I'm sure he meant well.
He probably meant... He's like a hooker with a heart of gold.
I think
you heard of that?
I have heard of that. So
he was a pedophile with a heart of gold. Is that a thing?
Well, we'll try it. We'll see what happens. We'll check the letters. Check the mailbox and see how people respond to that.
Do you want to buy that website?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
We've got drunkpodcast.ca, and I think I'm good now.
So how will you apologize for this pre-Harvey Weinstein, Harvey Weinstein? Are you going to answer it with
Well, I thought we'd go back to the same era and find a couple
tennis
people.
Pros?
Tennis pros. Or poetic prose. But no, we went back to the same golden era of Hollywood and went to Douglas Fairbanks Sr. and Mary Pickford. Because they were a great couple, and, you know, until later.
Now, Mary Pickford was married to Douglas Fairbanks Jr.?
Senior?
Oh, also senior.
Yeah.
Not junior.
Nope. No.
Who was married to Douglas Fairbanks Jr.?
A whole bunch of people.
Oh.
Yeah.
I always figured Pickford was with Junior.
No, Senior. They started.
He's Mexican.
Who's Mexican?
Senior Fairbanks.
No. Did you think of Senior Fairbanks?
Oh.
Yeah, it's a different guy.
Okay.
He had a dry cleaning business on Sepulveda. He could get your suit Martinized in an hour. But no, this is a different guy altogether.
Okay.
Douglas Fairbanks Sr. And they formed United Artists with Charlie Chaplin and that other guy.
Errol Flynn.
No, nothing
director. Wasn't it the director that
was involved? Yes, the guy that did.
Samuel Goldwyn?
No.
Oscar Mayer?
Just throw it out. Shout it out, audience.
Oh, yeah, we have an audience again, which is... We always get an audience when Dave's not around. Because nobody will come out when Dave's around.
Yeah, well... he did Birth of a Nation.
Yeah,
Cecil B. DeMille.
Griffith.
No. Griffith. D.W. Griffith.
D.W. Griffith. Gotcha. You know that park in Los Angeles?
Griffith DeMille Park.
Griffith Park. Not named after D.W. Griffith, as I found out.
No?
No, I was very... Because I've been telling people that for years.
Who is it named after?
Some other guy named Griffith.
Senior Griffith?
Senior Griffith. But we digress. So there's a... Again.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Douglas Fairbanks Sr. marries Mary Pickford.
Yeah.
A Canadian kid.
Canadian kid, yeah. And it's a great romance. I mean, they have rocky times and eventually split up, but they...
So, but is Mary Pickford a Douglas Fairbanks Jr.'s mother?
No. No.
Is Douglas Fairbanks Jr. related to Douglas Fairbanks Sr.?
He's related to Senior Fairbanks of the dry cleaning business. The dry cleaning mogul.
Oh.
Yeah, but no, that's not his mom.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, who's his mom?
His first wife. Douglas Fairbanks' first wife.
Yeah, so we can... the one he divorced to marry Mary Pickford.
I thought that...
It was a tough... You know, people were... Loosey-goosey in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s.
Barely an Errol Flynn apology, wasn't it?
Well, at least he divorced his first wife for love.
True enough. And then somebody eventually bought Pickfair.
Yes, yeah.
Who?
Bing
Crosby?
No.
Because
Pia Zadora.
Pia Zadora.
Yes, she bought it. And that did not end well for Pickfair.
No, or Pia Zadora.
Or Pia Zadora either. No.
So Pickfair was subdivided?
Yeah, it's been subdivided a bit. Yeah, Buddy... what was his name?
Buddy Rogers.
Buddy Rogers was the... He was Mary Pickford's... whatever, number husband. The next
third husband.
Oh, that's right. They were both married. Yeah, so and he... Buddy... The deal was that Buddy got to live there till he died.
Yes.
Little did they know he would live to be in his late 90s. So... Joke's on them.
So who owned it when Pia's husband bought it?
He bought it from the estate, I think, of Mary Pickford's estate.
Oh, okay.
And her and Buddy was there, and Buddy got to stay in the guest house until he died.
That was part of the sale.
Like in the 1990s or something?
No.
80s?
80s? I think it was 80s.
Wow. Pretty old.
All right.
Yeah. We'll get somebody to go on IMDb. Thank you, Amazon.
But it's funny.
Yeah, no. But, you know, Douglas Fairbanks Sr., not a lot. I mean, he was a man of his time, so he drank. He womanized a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But while they were together, he pretty much stuck to her.
It was a huge love affair. That's why I'm sort of surprised that, number one, that they split up again.
Mm-hmm.
And that she had a third husband.
Yeah.
And that...
Well, that's sort of how it goes.
And that Douglas Fairbanks Jr. wasn't a little Pickford.
A little Pickford. Yes. He might have been a little Pickford.
I'm kind of put off the whole thing here. But anyway.
But
they're classy Hollywood royalty.
They were classy Hollywood royalty. They meant well. You know, the fact that their relationship was rocky does not take away from the fact that they loved each other. They just couldn't live together.
And Rocky was produced by United Artists.
Sure. Sure, whatever.
Because of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can draw a straight line from The Little Tramp to Rocky Balboa. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
A lot of people don't know that or would even try. So, thanks for tuning in to Hollywood Corner with Denny and Freddie.
Yep.
And,
why aren't we Denny and Freddie?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, my God. All right. And someone should be writing all of this down. Yeah. We're recording it. Can somebody record this?
I'm just going to check and make sure. See if somebody is recording this.
Oh, that would be a waste
of time. Yeah, it's still going. So
all right. Good. So you want to start then with the Fairbanks.
Yeah, let's start with the Fairbanks.
Mm.
Because that's part of the puzzle. Is it's called the Fairbanks cocktail.
Right. Because it could be named after.
It could be named after Douglas Fairbanks, a senator. No, Fairbanks. Or Vice President Fairbank.
Right. Or Alaska.
Or just after Alaska.
Because it's a cold drink.
Yeah.
Right. But it's not named after Douglas Fairbanks Jr.
Not Jr. No, he's got nothing, poor little fella.
Now, when did he die?
Buddy Rogers lived
to 1999. Rogers lived to 1999, so in your face, whoever bought it. That probably is after Piazzadora sold it.
Well, that's why I guessed that it was in the 90s, because I thought Pia caused all the problems in about 85 or 86. Probably about the time that I thought that Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous was the best show on TV.
Wasn't it?
Uh-huh. I thought it was. Now I feel dirty when I even talk about it. I feel Errol Flynn dirty talking about Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
I guess it did sort of set off a bad decade or two of overindulgence.
Well, there was that. But it featured a lot of Donald Trump back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And Adnan Khashoggi, who was a big arms dealer, I believe.
Yeah.
And yet we were all just drooled over his gold apartment buildings. And then the Sultan of Brunei became the richest guy in the world.
That's right.
While we were watching Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Oh, very good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's...
I thought there was going to be a lot of business my way by impersonating Robin Leach.
Yeah.
Oh. Or whoever I'm doing now.
Jim Backus, I think.
It's a sort of a variation on Backus.
A little bit of Backus.
What's in the Fairbanks cocktail?
I don't know.
Want me to read it to you?
Would you?
This comes from Ted Haig's fantastic book, Vintage Spirits and Forgotten Cocktails, the deluxe edition. Don't settle for anything less. And for this, you're going to require 1 3/4 ounces of gin.
Should I be... I don't know how this is going to work.
Not well.
No. 1 3/4 ounces of gin. So we're going to make a couple.
Yes. 1 3/4 ounces of gin, 3/4 ounce of dry vermouth.
Oh, I have that. It's over here. Oh, there it is right there.
It's soaking wet. 2 dashes of orange bitters.
Oh, there's that
he
one.
Recommends Regan's number 6.
Well,
so actually, we're using
Fee Brothers West Indian orange bitters.
Right. And 2 dashes of creme de noyau. Or noyau? Noyau?
Noyau?
Noyau?
But.
Yeah.
You can't get that.
You can't get that?
No. But what it is really just a liqueur made with the pits of apricots and such things. Peaches, and so that's exactly what this stuff is right here.
Excellent. You can tell by banging on it.
Sure. It's ripe, ready for picking.
Now, it was funny because I looked on the World Wide Web to find out about creme de noyau, or noyau, and when I found out what it was, I looked up substitutes.
Yeah.
They said if you want it to taste like it, use amaretto. If you want it to look like it, use grenadine. And I thought, there's no logic in that. Let me tell you my chocolate chip cookie recipe.
No.
Do you want it to look like chocolate chips or taste like chocolate chips? So,
yeah.
I didn't think that was particularly
I wouldn't go back to that website.
No.
So anyway, I'm going to use Bombay Sapphire East because that's what I've got.
Nice.
You know, it's supposed to have slightly different botanicals. It's got Thai lemongrass and Vietnamese black peppercorns.
Did you say Tylenol wheatgrass?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Good.
A lot of stuff has opioids and other painkillers. But no, I think I said
Errol Flynn's pick me up.
Thai lemongrass and Vietnamese black peppercorns. It sort of smells like gin. What do you think?
Yes, it's very gin-like. Yeah. If I didn't know any better.
But,
I have had this product before.
Yes.
And it is fantastic.
It is good. I mean, nothing wrong with it.
Nope.
I love their marketing, and it's just a really good gin. So I'm going to put in this much of that.
Yes, 1 3/4 ounces.
Yeah, that's very precise. Normally you don't see a 1 3/4 ounce
I know. Pour. Well, and if you have a 5/12 gill, feel free to use that as well.
Where do you get a gill measuring cup?
I don't know. I think it's in the 5 centiliter section by the looks of it.
So we got one of them. Mm-hmm. A little bit of vermouth.
Lovely.
So sort of like a martini, except for the large quantity of vermouth. How much, you say?
I say 3/4 ounce of dry vermouth.
Holy smoke. So that's just going to put in very precise. Well, not really.
Yeah. Measure twice, cut once.
Yep.
Half cut for the rest of your life.
Either 1.5 or 2.5 ounces. I think it was 1.5.
And now we need 2 dashes of orange bitters.
Oh, good luck.
He recommends Regan's number 6.
Oh, yeah? Well, then I'm going to use Fee Brothers, because you can't tell me what to do, Ted Haig.
Disagreeable sod.
You get that way after you've done this show for a while.
And now here's the fun part. It's only 2 dashes of creme de noyau, the hardest to get ingredient, and
really?
All you're going to be using is an eyedropper practically to put it in.
Let me get
you got to get the vice grips out. And that should be a lesson for everybody at home, that you want to open up your amaretto at least once a month, otherwise it'll seize up on you.
Exactly. So, 2 drops?
2 dashes.
2 dashes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, here.
That sounds like a dash.
It's, is that 1 dash?
No. I think
that's 2 dashes.
That's 2 dashes.
That was 2 dashes.
Oh, come
sure,
on.
For sure. Yeah. And that's it?
Yeah, that's, stir it in a mixing glass.
Good, I'm going to shake it.
Of course you're going to shake it. Class act.
I have a glass, but, you know, I like the sound of this. I mean, there's just no...
Shake it like they shook Douglas Fairbanks Jr.
As a child?
As a child, yeah. Stir it in a mixing glass with ice, or if you don't want to shake it.
Oh, okay.
And strain it.
Uh-huh.
Painfully.
What?
Into a cocktail glass.
Painfully?
I threw
that.
I threw that in.
Oh, okay. You threw me off a little bit.
For humor. Now, you've made enough for 2, and fortunately we were 2, but we're going to share it out.
Well, we got 3 glasses.
Nice.
We're going to have more glasses. We can get more glasses.
Let me just try another. We'll see how thin we can pour this thing.
I will vamp.
Skilly diddly ba da da.
Skilly ba da da da. Skilly boo da.
That's scatting. That's not vamping.
Oh.
You don't know your scat, so you're vamp.
I didn't know that Douglas Fairbanks Jr. wasn't even the thing. So, yeah. The other one is called Senator Fairbank, a personal friend of the late President Roosevelt of America. Oh. Now, do you suppose that they're referring to Franklin
Delano?
Delano. Roses are red, violets are blue.
Yeah?
No. What is it?
I already don't know.
Sticks and stones may break my bones.
Yeah?
But Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
There you go.
All in the family.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the other guy was Theodore Roosevelt's vice president. This other but he was Fairbanks. Oh, God. Anyway, let's try this drink out.
Okay, you grab one of those. I'm going to deliver these.
Okay, I'm going to turn this thing off.
Yeah, I tried to get 4 glasses the same, but that didn't actually work.
And did you put a cocktail cherry in everybody's glass?
Watch me do that right now.
I'm going to scat.
Perfect. Also, open your cherry jar.
Yeah, no, when you open your basically whenever you change your clocks forward or back, also loosen your amaretto and check your cherry jar.
And the battery in your smoke detector.
It's a long, long checklist of...
Oh, there's all kinds of stuff you really should be doing.
But now this is a pretty drink, and your choice of glassware has made this look terribly 20s.
Yes, no, it's... because I bought these, as you should, you know, when you're at home, yes, it's nice to go to Walmart and pick up a new set of glasses, but...
I never go to Walmart when I'm home, but go on.
No, so are you folks at home?
Oh,
not you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're right here.
I forgot we were recording this.
Oh. I got them in the secondhand store.
Get lots Did of you?
Fine glassware.
And that's where you earned your nickname, Secondhand Rose.
Secondhand Rose.
Which I will be performing in the second half of the show.
All right. So here we go. Cheers. Cheers, people.
Cheers, people.
Cheers.
The Fairbank cocktail.
Losey. Oh, that's got a big vermouthy hit to it, doesn't it?
It does have a big vermouthy hit, but it's also got something else is sneaking around in there.
Because it's the orange bitters, I think, that's dancing around the edge.
Because it shouldn't... I mean, it would be a wet martini with that much vermouth in it anyway. The orange bitters, the amaretto. God, I don't know. I thought I got something else off the top of it.
Was I supposed to put maraschino in this one?
No, we go... We're going to put maraschino in your Bickford. Which is the other song that I'm going to do as an encore for you. I don't like that. Because I like bitter, dry things.
I do not like that.
You do not like this. Any in the audience?
You know what? It's somewhat pleasing, only if you really like a good gin martini. A good wet gin martini.
Yeah. Maybe. So this is for the gin martini liker. Mm-hmm. Lover.
Now, I'm going to throw a suggestion out there that if you make this at home... use really good vermouth because you're going to be tasting it.
Good point. Like a Noali Pret or something even better?
I don't know. And what did you call me? I always do that joke. It could be maybe chill the hair more.
Mm.
And that would, of course, belay that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try some of your vermouth straight because I'm wondering if you've got tainted vermouth.
Oh dear.
Which is the song you are going to do.
I'll be doing tainted vermouth after the break. Now it's, I don't use my vermouth as much as other people.
Yeah.
It's right on the edge.
Yeah, I think your vermouth's a little hinky.
Oh, sorry about that, folks. All right.
I think it's just
this
a little...
vermouth is dead to me.
Yeah.
It tastes like vermouth to me, so even... Vermouth that's off.
Well, see, here's the problem with vermouth.
Yes.
And this is why I try to extol the virtues of vermouth, which is a tough sell because you never get it. Nobody wants it.
No.
I understand that nobody wants vermouth.
Hmm.
And yet they make it.
You need it.
The Martini family has staked their whole business model.
Your entire fortune.
Yeah, the fabulous Martini. It's a tsunami warning. Put your hat on. It's a wine that has herbal qualities to it. And if you have it fresh, right out of the bottle, I promise you, even as a guy that doesn't like vermouth, you'll go... Yeah, exactly.
Will I?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
If you can guarantee me that, I'm in.
Yeah. It'll be... You won't... Anyway.
I didn't even... okay, well... I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
And so that's why I don't not like this. And on the nose, you know what comes across on the nose is I think, can you hand me that jar of cherries? I think that's a little bit of...
Nope. Let me give you the orange bitters or the amaretto.
Sure, let's try the amaretto.
Maybe it needs a little more amaretto.
I don't think it does. I think
you don't think it just needs better vermouth.
I think so. I think it's a drink that is not going to be a fan favorite, no matter what, because of its situation.
But what if you're somebody that likes a gin martini, like you?
Well, I like a gin martini, but I usually like a dry gin martini. I've only forced myself in recent years to try it with more vermouth, because it's not a joke product. I guess that's my point. It's not like someone's asking you to put that blue... toilet liquid into your drink. And you're like,
good
it's martini.
Point.
It's an old company. It's a wine.
In Europe, their martini is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a 2-to-1.
Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes their martini is only that because they think that you've asked for the name brand.
Mm.
You've asked for a Kleenex and they've given you Kleenex. So no, I meant the drink, weirdo. And he's like, you asked for a Kleenex and I had a box here on the bar.
The Kleenex cocktail is what I meant.
Yes. Mm. So yes, it's dry, it's funny. The amaretto comes through a little bit. I guess you could have used grenadine if you wanted it to look like... Although this looks pretty fair to the picture that in Ted Haig's book.
Mm.
He does not have any tasting notes on it. He's really
weird.
More concerned about the S that's not in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's So if you had this in a bar, Fred Partridge.
Yeah.
And they said, well, you want another one of those? You'd say,
I'll have the Mary Pickford.
Okay.
But I drink all of this.
Yeah.
Not horrible.
No, it's not horrible.
And if it had better vermouth, maybe it would be good.
I want to try it with fresh vermouth.
And then maybe, what I'm finding is, the bitters, I don't even get. I got no bitters.
I get the orange bitters.
Really?
Yep, because on that last little taste there, I was going to say, oh, I got orange.
Hmm.
It rides along
the
back of your tongue.
If you do a little bit of a...
And a little bit on the tip.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You're all flim cocktail.
Yikes! Yeah. All right. No, you're right. Okay, I do get the bitters now. Thank you for pointing that out.
Well, the danger of that is like when you're doing a scotch tasting, you say, you taste the leather?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now I taste nothing but leather. I didn't prior to this.
But now you said leather, mm-hmm. and now that's all I can taste.
And marmalade, right?
Yeah.
Yes, and marmalade. Yeah.
That's weird. I'm drinking it's a chocolate milkshake. I don't know why I'm getting this leather marmalade thing off of it. But now that you mention it, it's all there. And shoe polish. A little bit of shoe polish.
But if you like... Let's find out who will like this. If you like a gin martini and you don't mind it really, really dry, this is a drink that's worth trying for you. And is a conversation starter because it's got a big, awful-looking red cherry in the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And I think we got a little bit of stainage from the juice from the cherry thing.
Yeah.
Which is good.
A little bit of that. I don't mind a little bit of cherry juice.
No. The flavor of it changes as you go down, too, because I think you dumped a little bit of cherry juice in there.
I like to give a flavor profile.
It's a great-looking drink. I liked it. Fred didn't like it. And we got a split with the audience. A split. We've got one for, one against. And you at home are going to make it while I scat with fresh vermouth, and you're going to see what you think about that. And then in the next episode, we're going to make Fred drink a whole bottle of vermouth.
I'm going to have to, so I can buy a new one.
And you're going to smoke a whole carton of cigarettes. He's going to learn to like this stuff.
One way or another. You think you like it? Here, let's see how much you like it now.
My brother used to like butter.
Oh, yeah?
I think he still does like butter.
Well, who doesn't like butter? I like butter.
But I used to tell this story because I thought it was a funny story about my brother and about how gross he was.
Well, all the best stories are about that.
Right. But as I turned out, the story was not about my brother being gross.
Oh.
It turned out that it was about my mother being cruel.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
But I still saw it as my brother being gross.
Mm, okay.
My mom would set out the dinner stuff. And she would come out, and she would look, and there would be a finger thing in the butter.
Right.
And she'd go, oh, Rob's been at the butter. And then she would go do something else, and she'd come out, and there's another finger thing in the butter. And so she thought, well, I'm going to put a stop to this.
Mm-hmm.
And so she got a whole pound of butter.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, you like butter, do you? Mm-hmm. And she put that in front of Rob and gave him a spoon and let him go at it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how far he got.
Oh.
But in my mind, as a kid, I was like, yeah, serves my older brother right. He got what he got coming.
Yeah.
But when I told that to a mutual friend of ours, Brian Krentz,
oh, yes.
He just got a kick out of it. Oh, you like butter, do you? And the fact that my mom would be so cruel as to put a whole pound of butter in front of a kid and give him a spoon so that he would eat it until he was sick.
Yeah.
He didn't think that was very nice.
Oh, I see. I getcha.
And I said, well, you didn't grow up with my brother.
You knew him like I knew him.
Mm-hmm.
You think he deserved everything he got.
Mm.
Good point.
Those are good cherries.
They're pretty good. It's Egbert's. Egbert's premium cocktail cherries.
I can taste the egg in it. So it's
oh,
nice.
Yeah. No. It's made with real eggs. Real fresh quail eggs is what they use. But anyway, that was good. That was a nice adventure.
It was a nice adventure. Now, I can imagine, and you can too. You go through the huge gates of Pick Fair. You drive up the long driveway. Yes, you stop. You get out of the car. Maybe somebody opens the door for you. You go up. The door opens up.
Like that?
Yeah. It's a wreck of a house. Everything squeaks. Pia Zadora's there.
Yeah.
Half dressed in a terry towel robe. You say, oh, God, I'm sorry, I was under the impression that, never mind, you run back to the car. Leave it.
Slam the door.
Yeah.
Thunk.
Yeah. Go to the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Sorry, that was a crow.
You hit a crow as you're driving down the driveway, and you order a Fairbanks cocktail.
Yeah, you'd be better for it.
And you've got a taste of 1920s something or other.
Yeah.
Even if you don't like it, this is really a good time travel drink because it tastes. Yeah, it does not taste of this era. No,
it's an old timey drink.
It tastes like something different.
It sure does. I mean, I wouldn't have missed that for the world.
No. Mm-mm. Neither would Mary Pickford. In fact, this tastes like kissing Douglas Fairbanks
sure,
Sr.
Because of the gin.
Sure. Right, because he stored a lot in his mustache. But speaking of mustaches...
Yeah?
This other guy here, he has a bigger mustache than Douglas Fairbanks. Charles Warren Fairbanks,
mm-hmm,
Theodore Roosevelt's vice president, had a hell of a cookie duster of a mustache, and he would store more gin in it. I think I got off topic.
I don't know. What was the topic to start with?
We're talking about fresh faces in real estate.
Oh, okay. Mary Pickford?
Mary Pickford. So what year did Mary Pickford marry Douglas Fairbanks Sr.?
Oh, you want to refer to back to our research department?
We have no research. It was 1905.
Yeah. When they got married?
That's what,
22?
That's why they called her Mary Pickford.
Yeah?
Because she got married.
Yeah.
And to Douglas Fairbanks,
senior. Sure.
Yeah.
Let's stick with senior.
We have two recipes for the Mary Pickford cocktail. One calls for 1.5 ounces of white rum. The other one calls for 1.5 ounces of white rum.
That sounds about the same.
One of them calls for 1.5 ounces of pineapple juice.
Yeah.
The other calls for 1.5 ounces of pineapple juice.
You're losing me.
I know. One calls for a teaspoon of grenadine, which is 10 milliliters.
Oh, yeah.
The other one calls for 1/4 ounce of grenadine.
Oh.
Which I can only guess is somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 milliliters. Yeah. I have no idea.
Oh.
And one calls for 1/2 teaspoon of maraschino liqueur. The other one calls for 1 bar spoon of maraschino liqueur.
Well, how much is in a bar spoon?
I don't know. We've never actually measured what a bar spoon is. I would guess it was about 1 teaspoon.
Like a stirring?
Like one of these things?
Yeah, one of those stirring ones with a red deal on the end.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I guess that is a bar spoon.
Yeah. And that's 1 teaspoon.
It's 1 teaspoon. Yeah, 1 teaspoon.
There we go. So the one blurb that we have about the Mary Pickford cocktail, again, Mary Pickford married to Douglas Fairbanks Sr. back in the golden age of Hollywood. This Prohibition-era cocktail was created for the Canadian-American film star known as America's Sweetheart. Now, eventually, Glenn Toronto took over the role, and now he is America's Sweetheart.
He is,
You can Google Glenn Toronto and see what America's Sweetheart looks like and what he's up to.
Exactly. No.
It was created by a bartender at the Hotel Nacional in Cuba during the actress's visit to Cuba in the 1920s. That's what the one blurb says about it.
Oh, yeah? What does the other one say?
The other blurb says, named for the famed silent movie actress, this rum-forward sipper is widely attributed to Eddie Wolk, who fled to Cuba during Prohibition. And then this recipe is done at the Colada shop in Washington, D.C. So a fellow named Juan Coronado uses this drink. But Juan Coronado. I met with Juan Coronado.
Sure.
Juan Coronado. We're talking Juan Coronado. I bet he's got that all his life and he hates it.
Oh, yeah, I'm not doing that.
My friend wrote a song called One Ton of Mail.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, he didn't write it. He just ripped off One Ton of Mara. I don't know what the actual lyric is. He was a postman. It killed. Suffice to say. So I think really our question is, how much maraschino do we want? 1/2 teaspoon or 1 bar spoon?
I think they're probably pretty close, wouldn't you think?
I think they're pretty close.
I'd go with this because that's a pretty nice spoon.
We're going to go with 1 bar spoon. So that's going to be one Coronado's one. This is coming from Imbibe Magazine from March 6, 2016 is when this was posted on their website.
Yeah. Well, that's not that long ago.
No, it's fresh.
Yeah. Are you going to do this one? Are you going to take this one over?
Oh, I could do this one if you'd like.
Sure. I'm exhausted.
Oh, well, you want to sit in this stool over here?
Yeah, that's the quiet one, right?
Well,
We'll see.
That's a different movie.
Yep.
So Mary Pickford, not to be confused with Mary Hartman. What
right.
is a Mary Hartman cocktail? Oh, and you know what he does?
No.
He garnishes it with a brandied cherry. So we're going to use the cherries again.
Oh, nice.
Oh, we should have made it. We should have had a picture of Pickford and Fairbanks together.
Once again. Maybe we can do that later.
Now, what is this? This is your fancy little jigger?
That's a one, and then there's another fancy jigger there, and then there's the one for bulk measuring.
Excellent. And do you have a cocktail shaker? Well, here's one right here.
Oh, there you go. Oh, you want some ice for that?
Yes, I'm going to throw the ingredients in first.
Do you want to use your hands or tongs?
I'm going to use tongs.
Oh, yeah?
But I'll do it in a...
Surreptitiously?
Let me put it here for a sec.
Oh, you're going to...
No, we won't put it there. We're going to put it here.
Oh, yeah. So this is... Oh, the physical comedy, it's worth the price of admission.
That's why we videotape this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right.
From time to time.
Oh, yeah. And I got to get back on that again.
Okay, so for white rum, we're going to use Havana Club.
Is that what we're using?
I think so. No. Yes. We're going to use the Havana Club Añejo 3. 3 Añejos. 3 years old, this stuff is.
Mm.
Because it calls for white rum, and what could be whiter than this rum here?
It's whiter than the other stuff. I brought a whole bunch of rums, and I thought there'd be an argument.
Oh, we were going to talk about rums.
Oh.
Talk about rums while I measure this drink out.
Well, we've got to... I'm thinking about rums. The, well, there's this one. How's that? Premium extra.
I like how this is going.
You remember when you could just get rum? You say, I'm going to get some rum, and then you go and you get a bottle of rum, and nobody cared much.
Yeah, it was like running shoes.
Yeah, so, oh, you got to get some running shoes? Nobody cared what that. Nobody said, what kind of running shoes have you got?
No.
As much as they didn't say, what kind of rum are you using?
Yeah. How much running are you going to be doing?
Yeah.
How much rumming are you going to be doing? I'm going to shake your juice.
Yeah. Well, you go for it. You shake, shake, shake.
Oh, this is a fresh one.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to give it an extra twist because it's brand new. It's
fantastic. The other day, we had some of this at home, and mm-hmm. Jennifer turned it just till it did that, and then mm-hmm. she said, I don't want any of that.
Yeah.
And left it out overnight.
Well,
I said, I don't think that's open. And I said, well, if I squeeze it, air whistles out of it. So that's go now.
Yeah. That's good. That gives you an excuse to make a bunch of tiki drinks.
Exactly, which maybe we should do.
Yeah.
Because as Dave... Remember
mm-hmm.
Dave?
I remember Dave. Dave, I remember him fondly.
He used to do the show with us.
Yep.
Before he fled to...
No, he left the country.
To sunnier climes.
Oh, yeah, no.
He, but because he's been in Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
perhaps we should do some more tiki. People always seem to like our tiki episodes.
Well, and there's tons of tiki.
Where's your grenadine? Oh, you're using the Sonoma Syrup Company's.
Oh,
we should have opened that, too.
Oh. It's ours. I was going to do that, and I thought, look at that. The thing broke off.
The thing broke off.
I have to get my the sword I use for opening champagne bottles to take.
Yes, we're going to have to saber the...
saber the grenadine. There we go. Using the teeth, now you're going to get a little bit of... You're going to need to floss afterwards.
I thought that would be enough to get us
I
going.
Thought so, too. Yeah. I mean, you had a good grip on there with those those bicuspids. You just got you digging right in there. I don't know why it's not working. Folks, you got. I wish you were here to see this. It's.
I don't know if I lost that plastic or not.
And there's the ice bucket, in case anybody's wondering.
You got a corkscrew?
Yep. Have I got a corkscrew? Let me tell you, buddy. I got. I had a corkscrew.
Oh, hang on. No, look at this. It's
my, you got it.
Oh, no.
Get right off of your.
Vice-like grip.
Digits. Yeah. How's it going there?
Now, here's the thing that a lot of... Oh, here, we got into it.
Oh.
If you're a bartender at home,
yep.
You know, you can prep a lot of this stuff ahead of time.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Right off to the cap. Oh.
Ah.
We're going to edit this out later?
Nah, it's all too hard to edit out.
Yeah, good point.
People understood what was going on because you were videotaping the whole
thing. Oh, yeah. Well, we'll see how much of this actually makes it.
And for this, we're going to do 1.5 ounces of white rum, 1.5 ounces of pineapple juice. We're going to do 1/4 ounce of grenadine.
That's a lot of grenadine.
It is. It's very...
which is nice.
We don't have a picture of this in... there were 2 pictures of this drink, the Mary Pickford.
Mm-hmm.
One was yellow, and one was red.
Yeah. Oh. I'm going to guess it's going to be red.
I'm going to guess it's going to be red, too, because there's going to be an awful lot of this brownish red syrup in it. Always measure your drinks, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you can change it the second time.
And a bar spoon of maraschino liqueur.
There's the bar spoon there. There's the bar spoon.
Yes, everybody's looking at the bar spoon.
Everybody look at the bar spoon.
And look at this. The thing that we can actually get a hold of this just amazes me that this is even available.
It's, somebody have maraschino and then it's just there to be had.
To be had, see? For you Bugs Bunny fans in the audience.
Yeah.
If you're watching the video, we're actually doubling the recipe because there's... That's how we do it. But it only calls for one bar spoon of maraschino liqueur. A cherry-esque... It's made from... I forget how it's made now. We've said it before how it was made. It's cherry. But it's not so much cherry-flavored because it's a white...
Right.
Eau de vie almost kind of a thing. It but is. I don't believe it is an eau de vie. I think if you were to call it that, the eau de vie people would say, who the hell do you think you are? Now let's throw in some of your cubage.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was made in Cuba.
Oh, yeah, so that's why you're using cubage.
Yes. Wow, I'm not used to this plethora of ice. At Dave's place, he doles it out by...
Well, he pays by the cube, you know, to be fair.
That's true. If you're looking for a birthday gift for Dave Coin ever, get him a second ice cube.
All right. There you go. All right. Now what?
We're going to shake this mother up. As they used to say it.
That's your song for the second half? That's how we're going to close the show.
Careful.
Oh, that's frosting up. Are you okay?
Oh, sure. Because my mitts are made of pure asbestos.
Good?
Oh, yeah. No, it's been a positive boon to me in my life. Well, look at this. This is not a red drink. This is a yellow drink.
Oh! How wrong could I have been?
Well, it's got all of that pineapple juice in it. And it's got white rum. And the only thing that you're going to be able to try to counter it with is the grenadine.
Yeah.
And
good point.
The grenadine, I don't think, can stand up to that much pummeling. And so it's the picture in Imbibe, I believe, showed the yellow drink, whereas the picture that we had from the BC Liquor Store site that was red was a lie.
Yeah, they faked it.
Yep. Once again, the BC Liquor Board has done us a disservice.
How could they?
I don't know.
Well, because we're gullible.
I guess that's it. They got away with murder for so long without providing proper... You used to go into a BC liquor store, they had only one kind of gin. It was like going to a duty-free store.
Wow.
All right.
So we're going to give this one. I can smell it from here.
What does it smell
like? Is that good?
Mary Pickford?
It smells like the pineapple.
Oh, yeah. So now, if you were in Cuba, I guess you got to take that into consideration. Because if you were in Cuba, you were probably going to be drinking a rum-heavy drink.
Yeah.
What are they? This is the one that they said it was a rum...
Rum forward.
Rum forward sipper.
Yeah. Now, the nice thing about pineapple, and this is there's a big pineapple resurgence. Did you know that?
I didn't.
There's a big pineapple resurgence. I'm telling you that now.
What does that mean?
It means people all over North America, because that's the world, are using, and by people I mean bartenders.
Oh.
Not people.
No, not regular people. No. They don't know what to do with
a
pineapple.
They have no idea.
No.
They
might as well give them a coconut.
Exactly. They have no idea. But so the pineapple juice has got a resurgence in the not just the tiki cocktails, but regular craft cocktails for a couple of reasons. One being the combination of tartness and sweetness. The other, the nice soft mouth feel.
Right. Well, it certainly gave it a froth.
And the froth. It's like free froth.
Free froth.
Oh, yeah. Froth for nothing. You'd have to put an egg in it.
You have to put an egg in it, right?
Which some people, you know, poo-poo.
That's Beyonce, right?
Yeah.
If you like it, you would have put an egg in it.
Exactly right. All right, well, let's give this one a...
Old
nice truck. Clunk.
Cheers, Mary Pickford.
Cheers.
Good Canadian kid from where? Oshawa? I don't know where she was from.
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
This is the best thing ever.
Oh, it's so smooth.
So smooth.
Mm.
The mouthfeel, like you said.
It's like a milkshake.
Now, you had sent me an email that had a link to an article about pineapple cocktails.
Yeah.
And because of the link in it, and because I was at work, I did not look at it.
Oh, okay. Well,
but that was probably what you're talking about.
That's exactly right, yeah.
This is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Oh, no wonder she left Douglas Fairbanks Sr. in his vermouth-heavy...
Yeah, for this.
...garbage drink.
Yeah.
She's born in Toronto.
Born in Toronto.
The big smoke.
The big smoke.
No, that's not the big smoke.
The city with the big shoulders.
Porktown.
Porktown. Hogtown.
Hogtown.
Toronto was actually a city in Ontario.
Used to be. Before it was replaced by Vancouver.
That's right. Thunder Bay. Think Thunder Bay on steroids.
Yeah.
That's a lovely drink.
Isn't it?
I think that's
great. It's nice and small, right? This is the classic cocktail size.
Yes. Well, this has 3 and a bit ounces. Mm-hmm. And what did the Fairbank have in it?
That one is about one... It's actually only 2 ounces. 2.5. 2.5 ounces.
Did you do photos?
Yes.
We did do photos.
You did do photos. Look at that.
Oh, ah, look at that. Here's a fella enjoying a Mary Pickford cocktail. Not the way Errol Flynn would.
No. What, through a hole in the bathroom wall? You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the old-fashioned way. In a glass at a table.
Yeah, but no, I'm really happy with this.
I'm very happy with this. This is my favorite of the night.
Yeah.
Mary Pickford.
And you have a liter of pineapple juice at home?
I do, but I want it for long. Not for long.
Yeah.
I've got I don't know if I have white rum at home, but that doesn't matter.
No, you use whatever rum's at hand at that point.
I thought I might have white rum.
This is a drink where you could mix it up with different rums and just to see what happens.
I think you're right, because that's what rum lends itself to. Or, better yet, blend, 1.5 ounces of white rum?
Yeah.
3/4 of an ounce of one rum with 3/4 of an ounce of another rum.
Oh, yeah, you're getting sort of tiki-esque at that point. Mm-hmm. You're mixing your rums. Good thinking.
A whole different flavor profile, but we don't know what it might be.
No, I was going to grab the OFTD, but I thought, well, first of all, it's dark, and the other thing is it's like 75% alcohol.
Yeah, that's Mary Pickford's mom. yeah, because you had the Mount Gay rum here, the Barbaden, you have the J. Ray Jamaican Gold rum, you've got the Havana Club, you've got your Cruzan. And so, yeah, no, we had a...
Those are just my light rums and the dark rums, I thought. Would it be inappropriate? Mm-hmm. But I think now maybe they would. Maybe it would be kind of interesting to throw a black strap in there, see what happens.
I don't think there's anything wrong with mixing up any of those things to see.
Yeah.
And then you could have a Larry Pickford. A Gary Pickford.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Pickford.
Harry Pickford.
Harry Pickford.
Did we already do Harry?
No.
No.
Barry Pickford.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Jerry Pickford.
Hmm. Yeah. No, you could just go to Jerry, name for Jerry Thomas.
Yes.
Or something.
And at the bottom of this, once you get down to that, your bonus is a brandied cherry.
Yeah, these ones aren't brandied so much. Although I do have some maraschino, some cherries in maraschino. That's my backup jar.
What are these cherries stored in?
I don't know, but I've seen them around town as well. This is made with real cherries, refrigerated after opening. What's in it? Oh, God, I can't read that.
That's the sort of thing that you would maybe even be able to do on your own if you were just a little bit...
Contains alcohol. Yes, less than 0.5%, but I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got cherry, sugar, cherry juice concentrate, water, dash fire, old-fashioned aromatic bitters, vegetable juice for color, citric acid, potassium sorbate, and sodium benzoate as a preservative, and a dash of salt.
And a dash of salt.
And you can make your own.
Yeah, you could. And you'd probably just soak them in brandy, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But these were really good cherries, so I think this is going to be good. Egbert's premium cocktail cherries. Ask for them by name at your local grocer.
Yeah.
At your local Piggly Wiggly.
But they're good. Yeah, I can't remember where I found them. These aren't that hard to find, but you got to look a little bit. Well worth it, though. Even if you're just going to eat them by the handful.
Mm-hmm. My sticky handful.
That was when I got my first job. That was the first thing I did, was buy a jar of maraschino cherries because I thought they were so delicious.
Wow.
And I ate them.
I thought it had something to do with a sticky handful, and I thought, what, this sounds like a horrible job.
Yeah, no. But then I found those are the old-fashioned cherries, which were fine.
The neon red ones.
Yeah.
that still harken back to our childhood on the youth of the plains of Nebraska.
Yeah, exactly. But, not so much on the cherry flavor.
Yeah, no.
Or red flavor.
Yeah, just sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? It's got such a bad rap, mm-hmm. and maybe rightly so, and yet at the same time, it certainly did a job in my Shirley Temple or my sure. Rob Roy as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Roy Rogers? I didn't get a Rob Roy.
You never got it.
Rob Roy was maybe...
I suspect maybe you did get a Rob Roy as a kid. maybe a Rusty. You like drinking booze, do you? Here, have a Rob Roy. You like it so much.
No, oh, that's why I don't remember second grade.
At least you didn't get a rusty nail. I got a rusty nail.
In your shoe? Like right
yeah,
your
I jumped out of a window onto a old board with a nail in it. And everybody laughed.
Sure, it's funny. A guy in the back with a nail in his foot.
Look, he's laughing. He's pretending like he put a nail in his foot, and he's jumping around and he's yelling, saying, I got a nail in my foot. And I said, no, there's blood coming out. They laughed. They said, look, it looks like there's blood coming out. He's so funny. Yeah.
Is that a true story?
Yep.
All right. Yeah. Because that's what I did.
Yeah, that's it's over here. A little, you know, chuckle lot.
His brother's
Yeah, because you believe my brothers all the time. Does anybody believe your brother? No.
I have no idea. I assume somebody does.
I guess somebody
does. I stepped on my rusty nail,
yep.
it was in a board, like in mm-hmm. a 2x4.
Yep.
Probably about, I guess, 2 feet long.
Yep.
And I stepped enough to know that it went into my foot.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, ah!
Mm-hmm.
So I fell onto the ground,
yep.
Good onto thinking. My back, yep. with it in the air.
Oh, yeah.
And it went around like a propeller blade.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's a nice picture.
And that's what proved to people that it was not only stuck in my shoe,
yeah.
but possibly was in my foot.
Yeah.
Which, in fact, it was.
It was. Oh, but you had to leave because of the comedy.
Yeah. I was worried I was going to have to get a shot.
Yeah. You should have. I was too. And I didn't either. It was like, oh, quit your complaining is all I got.
Right. And that's why my mouth has been open since 1981.
Because you can't...
I can't. It's amazing that we had a career in broadcasting.
Exactly. Oh, well, these aren't my real lips.
I didn't want to say anything, but I could, you know, because you carry them in your pocket, I thought they'd be probably worse.
That was a dead giveaway. Sure, I'm going to have another one of these.
Yes.
And you will too.
I will have another one too.
And you people at home, you should as well. If you're going to have just one cocktail from tonight, have the Mary Pickford.
Mm-hmm. If you're going to have two, have the other one as well.
That's true. Good point. Because I think you've learned to love it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Much as Mary Pickford learned to love Buddy Rogers.
But did Pia Zadora ever learn to love Buddy Rogers?
She put up with him. I don't know if she ever loved. Maybe. Towards the end, she might have. He was pretty lovable.
Sure.
He was in, Wings? I think he was in Wings. He was nominated for...
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, not the TV show.
No.
The original Academy Award winner.
Yes, the movie that was actually shot 60 years before the TV series.
And this, sorry again, Buddy was what to Mary Pickford? A husband?
Third husband.
Yeah.
So when
he was a sweetheart by all accounts. Everybody thought he was just the best guy. He didn't drink too much or at all.
Yeah,
and so he was really sweet to her, really kind, and he was much beloved in all of Hollywood.
And was Doug her second husband?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
and who was Mary Pickford's first husband?
Well, he was her character actor from Silence.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was a douche.
Yeah.
No name character actor Silence. Fatty Arbuckle.
Yeah.
The guy next to Fatty Arbuckle.
He wished he was
Fatty Arbuckle.
Oh, we all wish we were Fatty Arbuckle.
Oh, sure.
Remember when we saw Fatty Arbuckle's car?
Yes.
My God, Fatty Arbuckle's car is about 100 feet long.
Oh, I know, and it's 12 feet tall. Oh, and it cost the equivalent of, I don't know, $10 million today.
Yeah,
because it was the teens or 20s, and they were making like $5 million a year. When you could buy a loaf of bread for a nickel.
Yes. Maybe you get two for a nickel.
You'd probably get two for a nickel.
Yeah.
That's the first husband, Owen Moore.
Owen Moore was the first husband.
He was not nice to Mary Pickford, and not many people liked him, but she sort of married him young, if I remember right.
And he died in 1939.
Yeah, not soon enough, according to some people.
And so then she hooks up with Buddy. Uh-huh. Buddy, and then, so, I'm still, yeah, so Mary got to stay in the house, is what I guess I'm getting
at. No. Pick what Farrah. Happened was, is Douglas left Mary.
Yeah.
So Mary marries Buddy. Mary's around until 1979, and then she dies, and he gets to stay there. Yeah. And it was run under an estate thing, and then Pia Sidora and her husband bought it and said, ooh, we're going to renovate it. Then they demolished it and said, oh, it was full of termites. And then years later, Pia Sidora said, no, it was because we were haunted by some ghost of a woman laughing at us in every room we went into.
Well, so they should have. Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
I would have.
I wonder if Pia Sidora finds herself haunted by people laughing at her in every room she goes in.
I think it's what happens now. Yeah.
I shouldn't disparage Pia Sidora. She's done nothing wrong to me.
She bulldozed their house.
That was a bad thing to do, though. That was a tremendous
loss to Hollywood.
Yeah.
But
although, you know what? Say she didn't do it.
Yeah. Somebody else would have done it.
Well, maybe not even that, but you can't go in it. I can't go in it.
That's
true. It's not like it would have been put on display to the public, although it might have been put on display.
I still hope that I'll be able to buy it one day, except it's gone.
Yeah.
Well,
the games are left. And one of the guest homes.
Where Buddy lived, the guest home.
Possibly Buddy's house.
Yeah. Right. And it's haunted by several laughing people.
Sure, they had to move out of the big house down in there. But, boy, this is good. We should look for more cocktails. Let's just look for more cocktails.
We can look for more cocktails. Like I say, I found two that I had saved for some reason and never done. And they both will work well together.
Mm.
Because, so I have chewing on a...
Not supposed to eat.
A cherry. They're both smoky. Oh. One involves smoked ice.
Wow.
The other involves a smoke inside the glass, like we did with the embers
before dawn, whatever that one was. Where's at dawn? At dawn.
Right. So there's a smoke-themed one.
Mm-hmm.
I have the butter syrup that I made for the... cold buttered rum, it's called.
Okay.
And I have an old recipe for another little treat. It's actually seasonal, but we could pull it out as a companion piece to it.
All right.
I think it's called a coquito, which is Puerto Rico's Christmas drink.
So we're sort of giving people advance notice of what we're going to do in December?
Or maybe in the next couple of things. Or we go tiki because of Dave Coyne's
recent
trip
adventure
to paradise.
Yeah. Wow, there's so many options.
Yeah.
Thank God. So there's at least six cocktails left to do. And then it's all over.
And then after that, we wrap it up and it's all repeats. It's all the best of Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure. Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure and Friends.
Yeah.
Syndicated.
Yep.
And we retire to...
Oh, sure. We just wait for the checks to roll in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wheat checks. Yep. I'm hoping for.
Yeah. I like rice checks.
There we go. Then we won't have to fight over it.
Good. Good. Well, that's great. So, we done anything? We haven't done much traveling, much cocktail traveling in the last couple of weeks, I don't think.
I went into the big city of Vancouver, but I did not partake of cocktails. I went to a brewery.
Brewery?
Yes, a brewery called Andina.
That doesn't sound like a brewery.
I know. It's run by South Americans, and it has a South American flair to it.
Oh.
And I went there because it was next door to Film Go? Film Go Sales?
Oh, yeah?
Which sells off old nonsense from...
Oh, from films.
Movies, yes.
Oh.
Or movie people can go and get it.
Right.
It used to be located in Vancouver off of Grandview, but they've now moved to a bigger spot.
Oh.
I guess. I can't talk. That was pretty big.
It was pretty big,
Because they had a bar for sale that I was like, I don't need another bar. I should get that.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah. I don't need that, I said several times as I looked at it.
Yeah.
I should go down there.
Yeah.
But they didn't have it on display.
Oh.
And because I was raised shy, strict shy, I didn't ask anybody about
it. Good thing.
Yeah.
Good thinking.
I just wanted to eyeball it.
Yep. And so you couldn't see it, so you went to the bar.
I went next door to the bar because I felt, why not?
All right. Well, yeah, no, I have not. I'm hoping to, expecting to go sometime soon to Hawksworth, maybe? Perhaps partake down at Prohibition.
So Hawksworth is in the Hotel Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the fancy restaurant there.
Right.
And Hawksworth has a little bar. that I've never gone to because you're going in there to eat. But there's a little bar in Hawksworth.
No.
Which I don't know if you can just bar in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's right there by the entrance to Hawksworth. Then in the same lobby is the 1927 lounge, I think it's called.
Yep.
And it has very good drinks. Yep. We've been there.
Yep.
And then underneath the Hotel Georgia in the old dreadful nightclub area that used to be called the George V, which made George V roll over in his grave, is now Prohibition.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
And it's full of fun.
I hear they're getting, I was talking to somebody there just recently who'd been there, and there was some smoky stuff. And the ice cube with the booze in it, you tap it with the hammer.
They do that there, too.
They do that there, too.
I know that they were doing a little bit of Cover Your Ears Bartenders molecular mixology there.
Oh.
Which, of course, 80%, it seems, are hate. They're the prop comics of
cocktails. I have a molecular mixology kit.
Right.
That we should take a shot at.
We could take a shot at it.
Yeah. It's a lot more prep work. That's the...
Yes, and that's actually was what I made this butter syrup with, which we would use in that cold buttered rum. I had to go buy xanthan gum and guar gum.
Yep.
Melt my own butter.
Sure.
Mix it with, I don't know, what the hell did I mix it with? I'd have to look at the recipe again.
Yep.
Sugar?
Sugar? Yeah, that sounds about right.
Sugar, butter?
Mm-hmm.
Was there something else, though?
And the two gums?
And the two gums?
Sounds about, what else could you use?
I don't know. Should there be water in it?
No, I don't think so.
Huh. Anyway, those gums, scientifically, as you would know, as a chemist, professional chemist, world-famous chemist.
Oh, yeah, world-famous.
Emulsified and holds it all together in syrup state so it doesn't separate.
Exactly.
And it tastes like sweet butter. And I've had it in a lot of things. And I almost always feel, you know, a little overindulgent afterwards. Because I'm like, I shouldn't have had a...
You pour it in your coffee?
I haven't yet, but tomorrow I will.
Yeah, there you go.
I had a bunch of tiki recipes because I got Beach Bum Berry's new book, Sippin' Safari, the 10-year anniversary.
That's why I didn't buy it for your birthday.
Don't get me anything for my birthday.
No.
Just money. I have to pay off a hot water tank.
You got a hot water tank to pay off. I understand.
I did some of the recipes in it that called for other sugar syrups and stuff. And just for the fun of it, I used little drams of this hot buttered or cold butter, this butter syrup.
Butter syrup.
And it's surprisingly full flavored.
Oh.
In that it tastes like butter and sugar.
Right. So you got to use it the right thing.
Yeah. I don't think I used it properly. Even though I only use little tiny bits about it, because there's an element to it that's almost like cookie dough, for lack of a better word. You know what I mean?
Oh, so the cookie dough cocktail.
It's that butter sweetness.
I know. Wouldn't that be good, a cookie dough cocktail?
Oh, wow.
I'm sure there's people looking for that.
Yeah, there probably is, actually. You're right.
I think didn't somebody ask for something like that? We were talking to someone, what kind of cocktail would you like us to make? And I think it was like, I don't know, candy floss or cookie dough or...
We could do something with like white creme de cacao. That's going to give you the chocolate stuff.
Yep.
The buttery syrup.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, I shudder to say vodka, but maybe vodka.
Yeah, maybe.
And maybe that would taste like a cookie dough cocktail.
Oh. Huh.
A cookie dough tini.
Cookie dough tini. Maybe.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
Sounds like I'm in.
Go back to the lab.
I'm in store for a headache.
Yes, while you fine-tune it, while you hone the cookie dough tini.
Yes, because on the weekend, this past weekend, when I was watching Saturday Night Live, I had also had some of the tiki drinks with the butterscotch.
Yeah.
Well, even butterscotch. Mm. In fact, Jennifer said, wouldn't that be neat if it was butterscotch? And I said to her, why don't I mix scotch with this? And she said, why would you do that? I said, because it's butterscotch. And she said, no.
But it wouldn't taste... I know. It's
but maybe
a pun.
It would.
Maybe.
Like if it was a lighter, like a sweet scotch, not a smoky scotch.
Right.
I'm going to use Laphroaig.
Like a Glendronic or...
Sure, Glendronic, Glenmorangie.
Yeah.
Toronto, America's sweetheart.
We get 50 cents every time we mention his name.
We'll put a link on the latest blog post to Glenn Toronto's IMDb page.
Yeah.
You can see him. He's everybody's favorite bear actor, Glenn Toronto. Does he listen to the show?
I'm sure he does. Not.
Oh, man.
Would you like him to?
Of course I'd like him to.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll put a bug in his ear.
Don't do that.
What?
No? I've seen Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's gross. I hate that. I always turn away when that scene comes on.
It's not a good scene.
No. But he will.
Okay.
He will shortly.
But why does he not now?
I don't think he does podcasts.
Huh.
Do you?
Do I do podcasts? Yeah.
But you do a podcast. You listen to podcasts?
I have listened to some, at least. Okay. But if I knew that buddies of mine...
Oh.
That I live far away from. Yes. Like, if I saw us all the time, I wouldn't listen to this.
No, you could get it for free anytime you want.
Yeah, I'd probably be on it.
Yes, exactly.
Right? But if I lived way far away...
Like, if Glenn Toronto did a podcast, would you listen?
Yeah, I think I would listen.
All right, I'll tell him to start his own podcast.
He would be great at a podcast.
Sure.
Because he's Mr. Movieman.
Yeah, Movieman.
Movieman.
Yeah.
Not like Spider-Man.
Nope.
Yeah, he should. In fact, he should do a podcast.
All right.
He should be the guy that does those tours of Los Angeles. He should be a guy that drives
in a bus?
Yeah, no, just in his car. It's half Uber.
Oh, yeah.
Half tour of Hollywood Hills. Half, so, you know, I have an appointment.
Half TMZ.
I'm going to show you where Marilyn Monroe died. I got stuff to do.
We're going to drive past the back of the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. A funny story about... I'm going the other way. I'm going into Santa Monica.
That's right. I got to get to the train station. Funny thing about the train station, they actually filmed a version of the train station in Culver City.
Yeah.
The backside of the studio there doubled as Union Station in 1923.
I got a flight at 5:20. Why are we going to Culver City?
5:20 was the title of a little-known film.
It was originally 5:20 to Zuma, but they forgot to take into account the time zone.
No, I would love to hear the Glenn Toronto podcast.
All right. I'll tell him that there's an audience, built-in audience for Glenn Toronto podcasts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him that it's not a license to print money. If he's going to still do that, that's still illegal.
Okay. Well, how does he get that license then, exactly? Because I know he's going
to
ask.
To print money?
Yeah.
Oh, there's several. I don't know. Ask at the Mint.
Is there paperwork?
Oh, I'm sure there's paperwork. Oh,
okay.
There's probably a vetting.
Vetting?
Yeah.
On top of paperwork?
Yeah, he's going to be vetted.
I don't think he's going to go for it.
Then just a podcast.
Yeah, I guess so.
He's got his crazy buddies.
He does have crazy buddies. I don't know why he isn't doing all kinds of stuff at any given moment. He's just he's auditioning. He's doing stuff. He's writing. He's taking a script around town.
Now, if we ever go to California again, and it's never going to happen, but if we do, we got to do a show with Glenn Toronto.
All right,
Glenn Toronto, for you folks listening at home, is a raconteur. If you had a talk show, you'd have Glenn on.
Yeah, then you wouldn't get a word in edgewise. And you wouldn't want to, because he's got so much interesting stuff to say.
That's right. He's the closest we have to Tony Randall.
Okay. Or the guy from TCM, Robert Osborne.
Yeah, he's the closest we have to Robert Randall.
Robert,
or Tony Osborne.
One of those two. Or Tony Goldwyn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Married to Mary Pickford.
Sure. They formed Goldwyn Pickford... Goldwyn Studios.
Is the United Artists still around? Because I know that they weren't still around, and then suddenly they were around.
They got bought. The name gets bandied about, but I don't know. It's not a standalone studio anymore.
Oh, okay. Was it a standalone studio? Did they have a backlot, or did they just put their name on stuff as a production?
It was a production company, so I think they shot here and there, right. hither and yon.
Sure, the old 20th century backlot.
Yes.
Sure.
Sure.
All right.
So if we do go back to California...
Yeah, or if he comes up here, he's the guy to have on.
Yeah, all right.
I don't know.
You don't know.
No, I don't know. I mean, I want to. If he was to come on our show, I would want to showcase him.
Sure.
And part of Glenn Toronto is knowing Glenn Toronto.
Yeah.
Will that come across audio-ly?
I think it will, because he talked good.
Sure, he talked good.
Yeah.
He, Big Mahuga, talked good. So we got that going for us.
Talk well good. Yeah.
All right. Well, perhaps in the future we'll have special guest Glenn Toronto. In the meantime, look at the link on our website, which is gentlemanofelegantleisure.com, where you're going to get these drink recipes. You're going to make the Mary Pickford, because this is fantastic. This will appeal to everybody.
Yep.
Everybody will love this drink.
Yeah. And if you can figure out how to make fresh... I'd like to make fresh pineapple juice. I'd like to see if it's any... That juice tasted pretty fresh, I have to say. And it came out of a carton.
Mm-hmm. No sugar added. You want to use your unsweetened.
Oh, don't, yeah. Don't no, there's taking... there's more than enough sugar in this. Don't get sweetened pineapple juice.
Exactly. A lot of times people say things like, why don't I just use this passion fruit elixir or the tropical collection?
No,
don't do that. Take the pineapple juice.
Yeah, why not?
You're going to use it.
Yep.
What the hell's the matter with you?
Yeah,
stupid
idiot,
jerk.
But anyway,
yeah.
So I'm we're gonna go to, as I mentioned, Hawksworth. Hopefully, gonna go to Prohibition. Maybe have a fine cocktail there. Okay. And if I do,
yeah,
I hope I do.
Yeah,
you know what I'm gonna do?
Oh, tell me what you're gonna do.
I tell you, once I've had my drink, yeah. I'm sitting there. I got this warm glow. Mm. The bill comes.
Right.
I'm gonna pay that bill.
Good.
Yep. And I'm gonna think about how much fun I've had, how much work went into this cocktail, and I'm gonna. Reach deep into my pocket, look for all the change I can get.
Right.
Hopefully it's a lot.
Yeah, because otherwise that's going to... I see where you're going.
It'll be very disappointing.
Yeah.
So if there's not enough change, yeah. I'm just going to get out the old Visa card.
Right, because otherwise you're going to have like two handfuls of dimes.
Yeah, it's not going to... I'm going to get thrown out of my ass.
Right.
But I'm going to... Whatever I have to do, I'm going to do it. Because, you know, no matter what, if you've got good service...
Mm-hmm.
You want to, if you got to sell your left kidney, I wouldn't recommend it, but you know, if you got to.
That's an awful place to drink. that's where you're going.
Yeah. Don't drink at the left kidney.
No, if your gratuity involves a body part, don't go there.
Not if it's mad, if it's right at the bottom. Mm-hmm. So for parties over 12, we demand your left kidney.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get out.
That's why I don't drink at that sketchy bar near the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway,
mm-hmm.
no matter what, down to your last shekel, and yep. I've really got to check the exchange rate, but you should definitely tip big. So if you're wondering why we're back again,
yeah,
it's been brought to our attention that we've been slagging poor Douglas Fairbanks Sr.,
mm-hmm.
implying that he was some sort of a drunk.
Yeah. Errol Flynn was a drunk.
And Barry Pickford was a drunk.
But Douglas.
He was a saint. He was a saint, and he only left because of the drinking.
That's what caused the problem with this great romantic relationship.
Yeah. So, if there's a lesson here, I don't want to learn it.
No.
But
we want to set the record straight.
Yeah.
Mary Pickford was an awful drunk.
Yeah, no, she was horrible.
And she tortured poor Douglas Fairbanks Sr.
Her and her horrible mother.
Mm-hmm. And her old drunk family.
The whole drunk family. Well, the sister and the brother.
Well, they're from Toronto.
Yeah, what do you expect? But, I don't know why there's an alcoholic drink named after Douglas Fairbanks Sr. It makes less sense all the time.
Slap in the face. That's probably why it's named after either the vice president of the one Roosevelt or the senator involved with the other Roosevelt.
Yeah, exactly.
It has Roosevelt's sticky fingers all over.
Oh, yeah, I can see Delano from here.
Or Teddy.
Yeah, it could have been Teddy. Teddy's a troublemaker. But anyway, that's a straight dope. So our apologies to the Fairbanks family,
mm-hmm.
and
Fairbanks, Alaska.
And Fairbanks, Alaska. We apologize for any slight you may have felt.
But we will not
go
back on the fact that the Mary Pickford is a fantastic drink, and I would gladly get drunk on it as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think we all agree on that.
Mm.
Yeah. So, are we going to sign off again?
Tip? No, we're not going to sign off.
Crazy thing.
I know. I think we should change the sign off.
Yeah?
I've had nobody in the service industry say thanks for the kind words.
Just be considerate. Whatever you do,
yeah.
Be considerate.
Be kind.
Be kind. All right. Done.